Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Jesus, the Only Way Radio Blog. My name is Faith Dean, and I am your host. To all those out there listening, let's give God some praise. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you,
praise
Jesus.
His holy name.
Thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Today, we will be speaking on, and this is a group thought. Whatever comes to mind, whatever you have that comes to your heart and you want to share, it's in walking in the Spirit with scriptures, Galatians 5, 23-25. And before we get started, Deacon Chapman, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Oh, gracious and heavenly Father, as we come before you, knowing that you are always in our presence, O Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this is a day that you have made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it, Father. We thank you for Jesus, Father, not only your dying Son for our sins, but your resurrected and ascended Son sitting on the right hand, being our mediator for men. And, Father, in this time that and perils that we are experiencing, especially in this coming election, Father, whoever gets to be the president, Father, we know as believers that you are in control. So
yes.
I say that we abide in the faith of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, oh God, and stay grounded and abide in your word, because abiding in Jesus is the secret formula for a Christian to survive in this world, to abide in him. And also he abides in us and we abide in his word, Father. And when we know the truth, and the truth will set us free, but when the Son set us free, we are free indeed. We have liberty in him, Father. And, oh, Father God, we thank you for Faith, Sister Faith, and the radio station. We thank you for every listener that tuned in today. And may something be said, Father, that will open up their hearts, Father, that if they have any doubt in there about the word of God, that something would come forth and heaven will wake us up. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Chapman. I'm going to start with Galatians 5 and 25, but we're going to go back up to 22. But I want to start with 25 first. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That is our topic today, in walking in the Spirit. Many people get into a relationship with God hoping that he will give them what they want. Their life prayer is a list of everything they want. In other words, you pray to the Lord and you pray for the things that you want. And consequently, they remain baby Christians all their lives. They slip in the door of heaven when they died, but they never have victory in this life. They never learn to listen to God and hear what he wants from them. We cannot walk in the flesh and have victory or be happy. We cannot spend our lives seeking to satisfy our own appetites and still affect anybody else's life in a positive way. It is not possible. If we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Deacon Chapman, if you'd like, you can go ahead and add to that.
Well,
because it isn't. Go ahead.
Well, I would go to Galatians 2:20.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said that I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me, and the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that is consistent a way to overcome the sinful desire of our human nature, which is the flesh. And we have to live it step by step in the power of the Holy Spirit as he works through our spirit. Now, we can look at, and people will constantly say that this verse is true to every believer, but we do not need to be really crucified. We have all already been crucified with him by being a believer, and he died in our place. And Sister Faith, and now we live not by the law, but by faith. Because Christ was our sacrifice for sin, and is now our sufficiency for the new life, which is in Christ. The Christian life is a dying life. What does it mean? He died to, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore any man being Christ is a new creature. Everything new and all things are passed away. And is the crucified Savior who lives in those who have shared his crucifixion. And the thing about it is that every Christian that claim the name to be a Christian, are they a true believer? Because it's supposed to be the Spirit working it, because in 5:17 it says about talking about the flesh. And that a lot of times the flesh is energized by Satan in the life of a Christian, and we should not ever underestimate his free range. But we have liberty in the crucified Christ by believing. And a lot of times by him having to reign over us in our flesh, we have a direction of a choice. And that choice should always be the faith in Christ, and we should know what we should do and not do. But if you're never taught what to do, how can you know what to do? Because there's always going to be an inner conflict between the flesh and the spirit. Because Jesus said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he went to pray and came back, and Peter and him was sleeping three times when he asked him to watch for an hour. And we have to focus on the fleshly, which also can call the world or call darkness, the habits and patterns that we continue to operate in. And Paul's intent in that scripture in 5:20 was to really explain the desires of our flesh at the odds with the Holy Spirit desires for us to be free from sin. And also, when we look at 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithful. And 23 says gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. Okay, but if we all who will notice that there's a lot of practice of the holding on to the law in our worship, and we have no more of that yoke of the law, because now we're operating by the Holy Spirit, which is our guide. And if we live in the Spirit, we can't live in the law, because the law was just a shadow of things to come. And when Christ died, that put an end to the law, but the 10th commandments now never was put to end. But a lot of the Levitical laws and oracles given by Moses was put to death with Christ. So now we're supposed to walk in the Spirit, and we are not supposed to come conceited, provoking one another, and we're not supposed to envy one another. What we're supposed to do is with John in John 13 and 24, 34, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Now, the thing about it, can we operate in love and forgiveness? And when we do that, we are now operating in a Christ-like mind, because he said, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. And Paul also says, 1 Corinthians 11, 1, be ye followers of Christ. As he is a follower of Christ. See, Paul followed Christ. He never turned back. We can't find no scripture in the Bible that Paul turned back to his old life. Now, he did go back to the synagogue and go back on the Sabbath day, but that was for the gathering of his brethren that he could explain this gospel of grace, which Peter and the rest of the 12 did not have. And are we going to operate in this spirit that Christ has given up when he told his disciples that he had to go because he was going to give them a comforter? And that comforter is his spirit living in us on the acceptance that we accept him. We accept his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, that he is internal. He's internal high priest. He's the great high priest. He's not only Jesus the Son, but he's the high priest. He's the coming King of Kings and the Savior of the Gentile church. So are we going to be generous and do good in our faith and have gentleness and have self-control in our flesh and have crucified that flesh and be compassionate and not so much operate in our own wants and desires, but becoming the person that God always have wanted us to become from the foundation of the earth? So you might have some other comments, Sister Faith, or somebody else.
Yeah, on this one, I just, when it comes to walking in the Spirit, I believe and I know this has to be the key, is to study God's Word. Because when you study God's Word, it teaches us His will. It warns us when we fall short of His will. And it also nurtures the soul.
Mm-hmm.
When we pray to God, sometimes we pray in times of great sorrow. We pray in times of boredom, and we pray in times of great need. And you'll be able to see, and a lot of times God may allow these things to happen, is to get you into His Word, because He is our comfort. He is our strength. He is the love in His Word. He shares His love. It's being obedient to His Word, because a lot of times we don't understand, especially when you're going through some bad times. But when you read His Word, it gives you strength. It gives you comfort. It gives you the love that He has. And you may not understand it right then and there at that particular time, but as time progresses, you could see His strength. You could see that, say, in a testimony type of thing, if another person is going through the same thing you're going through, you can lead them to the Word of God, to those scriptures, and let them know, this is what happened to me. This is what I read in God's Word. This really helped me. This really strengthened me. And you can pray for that person, or you can lead them to the Word of God so that they will be in need and in help. And you're also walking in the Spirit and doing what God says to do, and you will be led by the Spirit. What else do you have to say, Deacon Chapman?
Well, we can go to Acts.
Walking in the Spirit.
We can go to Acts 9 and 31. And Luke wrote that then had the churches rested throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Now, that word fear, interpreted in the Greek, is reverence. Walking in the reverence of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied. And the word was multiplied. Their faith was multiplied. They were edified. And what it is today, are we being actually edified in the messages that are given to us? It's just like in this election today that's coming up. We are looking for political solution to eliminate spiritual problems or solve spiritual problems. And we have to look always to the Lord, but if we would follow this word, we wouldn't have any spiritual problems. We wouldn't have any divisions amongst us. We would be operating, like as you, the topic is walking in the Spirit. But are we truly walking in the Spirit, or are we just skipping? Because the thing about it is that you can see from that scripture I read, those churches at that particular time, they were at peace. Mm-hmm. They had, and the peace was not solely due to Saul's conversion. The emperor of Rome, he died around that time, and he was replaced by, if I'm pronouncing it right, Caligula. And he wanted to erect for himself the temple at Jerusalem. But the Jewish energy directed away from persecuting Christians in that time, and they were to see the sovereignty of God, handiwork that was given to the early churches because of the day at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit, which was poured out on them, was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And the thing about it is that how is the church going to prosper, not so much financially, but prosper in the Spirit, that when Christ do make his appearance in the air, and those that have died in Christ and those that are still walking and believing in Christ will be caught up. The thing about it is we have to stay on a daily preparation for this time, because he said he'll come like a thief in the night. So we have to always, and he said, and I think it's in Matthew 24, you have to watch and pray. You know, mm-hmm. And comes to the point that we have taken God out of, the church. We preach message proud and not to the heart. We don't talk about sin. We don't talk about homosexuality. We don't talk about false prophets. We don't talk about death to the point where when you do die, is your final resting place going to be in this heavenly earth? When I mean heavenly earth, the final heaven will be on this earth, the new earth. And in Revelation, John said he saw a new heaven and a new earth coming out of heaven, and also a new Jerusalem, because this Jerusalem is tainted that they have now. So everything that God present at the end will be purified. And I give you a good analogy. Jesus was not Joseph's son. Jesus was not Mary's son. He was the Son of God. Now, God, she was born in sin, but God purged and purified that body of hers to produce his son, mm-hmm. to forgive. Because John said when he saw Jesus coming down the road, he said, here comes the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He didn't just say to take the sins of the Jewish nation or Israel, but the sins of the world. That was a prophecy in a sense, because we are living in a dark, wicked, sinful world today. And mm-hmm. the only one supposed to overcome that is the Christian. In fact, God created the family, then he created government, and now the church. But the thing about it is that the body of Christ, and I'm not just saying the church, but the body, the true body of Christ, is supposed to be operating in an element where the government would see you so prosperous in all aspects of your life that they would come to you and want to know, how is it being done? We think because we give the tithe or we give our offerings and things that is our saving grace. No, or being baptized, that is not what's going to save you. You're what's going to save you that you abide in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You abide in the Word, because in John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come unto the Father but through him.
And some scriptures say by him, some say through him in different translations. But the thing about it, we have to abide in Christ and have the word of God abide in us. And that word of God is Jesus the Christ. And Jesus the Christ is not his name. Christ is his title, going all the way back to him being the Messiah. You may have some more to add.
Oh, I do. When it comes to walking in the Spirit, God's purpose for every one of his children, you and I, is that we surrender to the reign and the rulership of the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus said, when he leaves, you won't be alone. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, just like I say in Galatians 5:25. In other words, if he lives in you, let him direct you. If God is living in you, why would you not let him direct your life? That's a crucial question. Walking in the Spirit means incredible, detailed direction, and nothing is cloudy about it. God gives you clear, detailed instructions to those who walk with him, and if you walk in the Spirit, then you don't walk in confusion. A lot of times, when I got to make decisions about my life, or when something comes at me and I see a lot of confusion, I know that it's not from God. When God is in it, it flows. It's direct. It's clear. It's no confusion. And it flows every time. But when something is not right and there's a lot of confusion, then I know it did not come from God. And I use that a lot in my life because a lot of things do come at me. People come at me with different things. And they're walking with the Lord as well. And when I see that, I know something's not right. And so I'm listening to the Holy Spirit as well. Because God doesn't allow confusion.
And
go
then
ahead.
See, too, in the flesh, we have to pay attention to what voice we're hearing. Is it the voice of man? Is it the Satan? Or is it the voice of the Holy Spirit? Because in 5:24, and Christians are supposed to be spiritual, and if they are crucified with Christ, they no longer have to follow the values and desires of the world. But you take on any given, say, Sunday morning. Okay, I'll back up. A lot of denominations will say you're in violation if you don't worship on the Sabbath, the Saturday. But there's no criteria in the New Covenant to worship God on a Saturday. Okay, say Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that you're in violation on that. But no, I'm not in violation because if Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath and I'm resting him, that's our Sabbath. You follow me?
Yeah.
Resting in him, because he's Lord of the Sabbath. And we have to also look at how we're going to master the sinful desires that we have. We have to know what God said in his word about the flesh, because we no longer, like I said, no longer have to follow the values and desires of the world. On any given Sunday, I'll get back to that, you have stadiums full of participants. But the pews at the house where we're supposed to assemble to worship God and is empty.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Because people's hearts are empty. Their hearts have hardened themselves. And if you go into Colossians 3rd chapter, you read about these garments that we're supposed to put on. And the last garment is the garment of love. If you love Jesus, you love God, and you are walking, as you say, in the Spirit, you should tear the door down to get there on Sunday morning to go before God and thanking him, his love, his blessings,
and mainly for the life that he gives us to continue to live. Because each and every day, Sister Faith, I thank him when I wake up for his love, thank him for a new day, and I thank him for the blessings that he bestowed upon me. I ask him to give me spiritual revelation and knowledge of his word and keep me guided by the Holy Spirit. And every day I get in the word. I'm in Hebrews now. You know, and so we're not only that we bear the burdens of others through compassion, but we're supposed to be generous and do good. And when you do good to people, people will flock to you and want to know, why are you the way you are? Where did you get your training from? But can many answer that question? No. And can you tell me why they can't answer that question? Because they may talk about God, they may talk about Jesus, they may talk about the Holy Spirit, but do they have a revelation? Do they have a relation?
See?
And the thing about it is that the prophets communicated with the Israel, Old Testament, and God sent messengers to address us on the church behalf and the basic of studying the word. And 2 Timothy 2.15 says, study to show yourself approved. Now, yourself, if a person read that, is speaking to them personally. Because I always say, if you want to hear God's word or hear God speak, read his word out aloud and rightly divide the word of truth. So if you don't know the word, how can you divide the word of truth? You don't know what the truth is. And John 7, okay, I'll read this for you. Not quote it, but I'll read it. Just give me a second. Jesus said this in his prayer in John chapter 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them through that truth. Thy word is truth. He was talking to the Father. He was not talking to the disciples at that time. He was talking to the Father. You know, but he was praying for them from verse 6 down. He's praying for the disciples, but he's talking to the Father on their behalf. And then verse 20 through 26, he's praying for the coming church. See? And the thing about it, he says in verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So how are you going to see that Jesus is in you unless you walk in the Spirit, unless you talk in the Spirit, and your life be a living example of what the Holy Spirit is guiding and leading you in?
Amen. Amen. I was just about to say that. The command that the scripture says to walk in the Spirit is given to all of us, not a few. And I have to say that about the church, because we should be walking in the Spirit at all times. And your walk, you have to go after it with everything that's in you. You got to look at the Holy Spirit as your very best guide and your friend. In Luke 11:9-13, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you are saved, just as if you say in your church, if you are saved, then the Holy Spirit has already been given to you. Now ask him to take over. You ask God to take over. Surrender yourself to him. You have to be determined in your heart that you want him to lead and guide you. And those are just part of the scripture. I mean, it's easy just to read, but it's got to be in your heart. That you want him to lead you and guide you, and that you trust with your faith that he is going to lead you. Even sometimes it may be quiet and you don't even hear God. You have to have faith that he is there and that he is leading you through your walk in the Spirit.
You know, in Acts 1 and 8, when Jesus told his disciples,
got caught up in the clouds, he said, "But you shall receive power, and after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world." But let's go back. "You shall be witness unto me." In other words, a lot of people will say their ministry, my ministry, my ministry. Okay, if you're going to claim a ministry, that ministry should take place when divine resources meet human need through the loving channels, through the glory of God, not your glory, not your I-ism, your my-ism, your ism, but to the glory of God. Because God, as I read earlier, God's word is true. There's no other truth on this world but God's truth. You know, we look for truth in sociology, psychology, physiology, but the thing about it, we have to go to the word of God. And I say, if you've been in any congregation, I'm not going to say church, in a congregation, a Bible teaching congregation, you should know something about every 66 book of the Bible, about the 40 writers. What are the themes of it? You know, why was it written? Who was speaking to who? And why was God speaking to them? Was God speaking to someone to speak to someone else or speaking to them personally? You know, and the thing about it, that takes constantly study. That constantly taking, breaking down scripture. There are scriptures association. Okay, we'll take one, for example, in 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Know ye not that you're the temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwell there?" Then we go to 6:19. It says practically the same thing, that you're the temple of God. We visit buildings we call temples, but he has tabernacled his spirit into true believers. And everyone that say that they're Christian, my question is, you're a believer and are you a true follower? Do you study his word constantly, daily? And when you meet somebody, wherever they are, can you take time to get them where God wants them to be? Not browbeat them, but just witness them. And one of the best ways I think a person can witness to someone, if people have seen your life in shambles, and all of a sudden God has turned you around through the Spirit, and you live a godly life, a passionate life, you show care for others, you speak to people in a kind voice. When somebody attacks you, you can just pray for them. And I give an example. I was doing a food ministry, helping with a food ministry, and the young man got real abrasive with me. And I'm ready. I got to go home. I need my food right now. I need it. And I said, "Well, just be a patient, sir," I said, "because they got her behind in the kitchen." "Well, I need to get home. My back hurting." I said, "Would you do me a favor?" He said, "What's that?" I said, "Will you repeat after me 10 times? "Okay." I said, "Jesus, 10. Jesus, 9. All the way down to Jesus, 1. He looked at me and he said, "You know what? I got you. I'm going to use that from now on." So sometimes we got to call on the name of Jesus in times of trials and tribulation and when the wicked people attack us. You don't have to always retaliate physically. Retaliate with the word.
I have to say the last thing, because we got to close in, is to focus on knowing and hearing the Spirit and get your eyes off of troubles and temptations. And in the Bible it says Paul, Silas, and Timothy would have wallowed in fear and depression if they hadn't. If they had focused on their troubles instead of they focused on God and praising and worshiping him, even through the troubles, because we have to also learn that even when we go through trials, tribulations, times, troubles, we still got to focus on knowing and hearing the Spirit, because God is going to lead us through it while you're going through it. But you got to focus. It's saying when Jesus took his eyes off of,
Peter took his eyes off.
When they was in the water, when they was walking on the water, he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he became fearful. But if he had stayed his eyes on Jesus, he would have been okay, because when he took his eyes off, that's when he knew. But anyway, we got to close in right now.
Just stay focused.
Deacon Chapman, can you close us in prayer?
Well, Father God, we come to you once and again. First of all, thanking you, Father, for the opportunity that we could speak on your word, Father, walking in the Spirit. And we pray, Father, that if someone did not know what walking in the Spirit is or what it's supposed to be, that what has been said today will enlighten them, Father. And most of all, Father, I pray that each and every one, you would touch their hearts, Father, and open up like you did Lydia in Acts 16 chapter, Father, that they may understand the word. Because, Father, we need to walk in the Spirit. We need your guidance, Father, because we always have your love. Whatever aspect our life is, we got to always know that you are love and you love us, Father. You love us because you sent your dying son, Father, to die for us. And we need to be rectified. We need to be corrected. The only way we can do that is study the word, because Jesus is not coming back again. He re-crucified or to die again, because he lived eternally. And this is what I would pray for each and everyone that would believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, contain themselves to the word of God, that they may say also have eternal life and live in the presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit forever. Thank you for Sister Faith, Father, in this station. Blessed, Father, may it continue on to give the enlightening talks and the messages that she have put together. And, oh, God, this election coming up, Father, I pray whoever you put in office, Father, that they will learn that you are always in control. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Chapman. And with that, good night. And God bless you. Thank you so much for opening us up in prayer, beginning and end. And thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you too.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.
There's no question of your greatness.